Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, from oysters to islands, Shane Beattie has a roundup of the stories from across the country that you might have missed this week. Good afternoon to you, Shane.
Hello, good afternoon.
Big Friday bank holiday. What are the plans?
I have friends coming over. I have to be sociable tonight, which I don't enjoy. So I have friends calling over.
Pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, are you?
No, I'm not leaving the house, which is good.
Lovely.
More of the hassle is having to leave my actual house, so I don't mind. So come to me. I just don't want to go anywhere. So
okay. And will it be place names and all sorts of fancy
table settings? I'm hoping to sit outside.
Gorgeous.
Hopefully. Have you, Anthony?
Outside makes everything easier, doesn't
it? Yeah, I think so. And you don't worry about cleaning as much.
And no crumbs or anything. It's just great. Yeah. I have a fairly quiet weekend, which I'm quite happy about.
You're not at all together now.
I'm not.
I feel like everyone in this building is there by me. So
yeah, I know.
I'm not VIP enough, unfortunately.
You didn't make the cut, Shane.
No, really not.
Oh, that's another day's work. Right, we better get into this. We're off to Limerick first.
Yeah.
This is a fascinating story in the Limerick Leader.
That's right. It's something I've never thought of. Who regulates grave diggers?
Yeah.
So it's not something you want to think about a lot.
I know.
And who's going to dig my grave when I die? But the Limerick Leader has this story where in Limerick, and I think other counties are going to have to follow suit here, in Limerick they're doing up now a register of official authorised grave diggers, and it's going to be in place next year. So I kind of get the vibe from the story that anyone can kind of go in and dig a grave. It's a bit unregulated at the moment, and that's why they're doing this register, because of concerns about ad hoc arrangements in several cemeteries, and as I say, essentially random people digging graves. It is the responsibility of undertakers and the families to arrange for plots to be dug and prepared. I actually thought that you rang the council and they did it, but it's actually the job of the undertaker or the family to do it. But it's also, it would seem in some areas, a cash in hand situation. So it's sort of, you give a lad 50 quid or 100 quid to go and dig a grave for you, which convenient but can lead to all sorts of problems. Councillors are saying they're aware of several specific incidents that have been highlighted by constituents, even down to things as simple as in one of the graveyards, someone was in digging a grave, but they were throwing all the debris over the wall onto private lands. So then the farmer or the homeowner or whatever looks outside and there's all this soil that's just been dumped where a grave has been dug.
My goodness. You're right. It's something we don't think about, but it does make sense that it needs to be regulated, obviously. Because supply is so difficult now for graves.
Absolutely. It's hard to get a plot.
Yeah.
And also issues like insurance. You know, what if someone injures themselves doing it? And also the quality of work. The whole idea of a graveyard is that everything has to be very uniform.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't see that. So the quality of work being carried out, those concerns were also raised. So a council official heard all the concerns from the councillors and says that Limerick is in the middle of reviewing its cemetery bylaws and there's a move towards establishing a register of grave diggers in Limerick. So that's one issue sorted. The next issue we need to sort is, can people stop robbing from graves? Because this is a big, big problem. Where you buy...
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Flowers and ornaments.
Yeah, you get little pots and things. Particularly, I think, in the first year where you may not have a headstone. You want to make the rest of the grave look well while you wait for the headstone. But families are going in and maybe that evening, maybe the next morning, the lovely flowers or the little gnomes or angels are suddenly robbed as well. So it's a huge problem, as is littering in our graveyards too.
Isn't that just terrible?
I know. You don't go after
Why
our
would
dead.
You, take, yeah. well, you just can't.
No.
I mean, there's just...
No.
It's just there's, a no-go area.
The one thing you think someone would...
Also,
do.
I feel like they're all looking down at us going, what are you doing moving those flowers?
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly.
I don't even like to see people walking dogs in graveyards in case they do a little number one on a grave as well. So,
yeah,
big problems in our graveyards, but a good initiative there.
It's an important discussion as well,
yeah.
And it will be rolled out across the country, no doubt, as well. Okay, who's up for buying an island?
I wanna take you to the island and trace your footprints in the sand. And in the evening, when the sun goes down, we'll make love to the sand.
Would you like to own your own island?
Do you know what? I was just going to say, more importantly than owning my own island is the love of that song.
It's gorgeous.
Any excuse. Isn't it a beautiful song?
Yeah, that song and Christy Moore's The Voyage.
Oh,
they're stunning.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Stop you in your track songs. Yeah, no, I'm not in the market for an island, but still tell me more.
You might be. You never know. I don't know your bank budget, but Mayo, I didn't realise this, first of all. John Lennon owned an island here.
What? What?
Yes. So in 1967, he bought Durinish Island, which later became known as Beetle Island in Clew Bay in County Mayo. However, the Irish Times says it turned out not to be practical. So obviously, you're a huge celebrity, a huge star. You're commuting all over the world for gigs, kind of not ideal to be on an island off the west coast of Ireland. So he went off and offered the island rent-free to a man named Sam Rawl, who was then called King of the Hippies. He wanted to set up his own self-sufficient community on the island. That didn't really work out, and it was eventually disbanded in 1972. But John Lennon actually wanted to retire to Durinish Island, and he even had a planning application in to build a house there when he was killed in 1980. Yoko Ono then sold the island in 1984 and donated the proceeds to an orphanage. So the reason we're talking about this is you can be like John Lennon because there are four islands for sale in Ireland right now.
And the prices, actually, just looking at this list, Shane, might surprise people.
I think so. So the first one, we're going to stay in Clew Bay, so it's Inishkara Island, €650,000. And for that, you get a 10-acre island, load of grass to get the sheep out grazing there, and your home has a panoramic sea and mountain view in Clew Bay. There's already a two-bed home, 108 square metres, in a good condition, only built in the 80s. And how you get there, a 10-minute boat ride from Newport in Mayo, if you'd like to buy that one. Then we go to Ballyshannon in Donegal, where you can buy an island called Inish Simer, I think, for €299,000. And there's a three-bed house on the private island there, and you've grounds of half an acre on the River Erne. How you get there, it has a private floating jetty, so it can be accessed from the mainland. Then we go all the way from Donegal to Tipperary, where you can buy Cameron Island in Lough Derg, which is a three-bed lakefront home on 1.7 acres, 5 minutes by boat from the quay on the mainland. And then finally, you can buy High Island in Claddaduff in Galway. This is a bit more expensive. Sorry, the one in Tipperary was 950,000.
Yeah.
This one in Galway, 750 grand, but you get 80 acres for it.
Wow.
Lots of room for your sheep.
So if you're buying the island, explain this to me as someone who's never done this before.
Nor have
you're buying the plot of land, like in this case, the 80-acre plot or the island, and the house that's on it.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So some of the houses now could do with a bit of a lick of paint and a lot more, but some of them are in okay condition. The last one, I don't see mention of a house in Galway. It just says 80-acre island, but it's 3 kilometres off the coast of Connemara. I mean, what a beautiful location.
Wow. And you get there by chopper.
No, well, you can do helicopter, actually, yeah. Or you can go by private boat.
Oh, rib boat. Okay.
So you're going to have to buy the island and obviously a boat as well.
It's but if you want a bit of expensive purchase.
If you want a bit of peace and quiet.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Which is why I would imagine the likes of John Lennon, you know, being just tormented by fans everywhere he went. I could see the appeal.
And it's very romantic, the idea of the west coast of Ireland having your own island. Didn't work out, though, for him, unfortunately.
You'd be bored quickly, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd give it a go. They say no
we'll
man.
We'll try it out if anyone wants us to give it a bash.
They say no man is an island. I'd give it a go, though.
Now we're off to Waterford next.
Yeah, people are very excited to get their new airport in Waterford.
Mm.
And there's big plans for it. But where are they going to go on their holidays is the question. So Waterford Airport went on social media earlier this week wanting to know what flight routes they should have. So when we open up the airport, where do you want to go? Quite boring, the answers, but understandable. So they want to go to London, Malaga and Lanzarote.
Okay.
They're the three destinations. They're the most requested destinations for people who want to fly out of Waterford Airport. Now, the Post had over 100 comments from people in the southeast, all saying where they'd like to go. So as I say, London, Malaga, Lanzarote, the top three. We also have Manchester, Liverpool and Faro in Portugal. And then we have Paris, Edinburgh and Birmingham.
Well, so, it all makes sense, doesn't it?
I mean,
the London is, can I go back and forth to work rather than having to drive to Dublin Airport to do it? And the rest are, you know, weekends away in Europe or the obvious holiday destinations, I suppose.
I just think if the airport were asking me, I'd be like saying Maldives or somewhere, not Manchester. No mention.
You'd be going exotic. You're pure notions, Shane. You know that.
And it could be, if I lived in Waterford, it could be on my own back door. No mention of America, though, which I find interesting because it'd be very handy if you could get pre-clearance from Waterford to go to the US, but not a huge demand. Also, people want to go to Rome, Amsterdam and Bordeaux.
Yes, okay. So they're thinking mini breaks.
They really are, yeah.
And avoiding the Dublin Airport rigmarole.
And the parking and the hassle and all that.
And the parking. Don't even get me started on the price of parking at Dublin Airport. My God.
I was looking at parking recently for September. €200 was the cheapest I could get.
Yeah.
It's very pricey.
Oh, my goodness.
So yeah. Waterford Airport, make your parking nice and cheap. And myself and Anna will go down there
for
holidays.
Give yourself the competitive edge with the car park situation for sure. Right, moving to the biggest celebration of crisps.
Well, hello. You look like a nice guy.
A man with extremely good taste.
Have you scored recently?
Got any extra time?
Wanna play ball?
This is what I want, what I really, really want.
New cheese and chive flavour from Walkers are so irresistible. Taste no more, Mr. Spice Guy.
That sounds like an episode of Footballers' Wives at the start.
It does, actually,
yes. That's the Spice Girls and Gary Lineker with the Walker's Crisps ad, because we're going to Dublin to talk about crisps. What's your favourite crisp?
Oh, that's a great question. And you know what I'm going to do? Apart from the really nice, obvious ones, I love the cheap crisps, right?
I knew you were going to say that. Chickadees, stuff like
Monster
that.
Monster Munch. Yeah. Skips.
Yeah. I like O'Donnell's. They're my favourite.
Yeah, we're back to the notion.
I do like a pack of Meanies.
Yeah.
And they're very good. When I was trying to lose weight, Meanies weren't the worst calories-wise
really?
Either. So I was kind of a fan of those. I love a pack of snacks as well. But if I was to choose now for tonight, I'll have O'Donnell's crisps.
Ah, yeah. If you're entertaining, that's different.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it depends on the moment.
Anyway,
doesn't it?
We'd be good contenders for this festival. It's Dublin's biggest festival of crisps is back. It's the Crisp Festival, and it returns to the Bernard Shaw this year for another weekend. I think this is about the third or fourth year of this festival. It's dedicated to the nation's favourite side dish, pub snack, sandwich filler or occasional full meal, the humble crisp. And there have been previous editions of this. So a lot of people are in the mood to do crisp-related activities. We're told that the festival is bigger and better this year. There's more games, tastings and competitions. Now, what to expect from it? They say it's not so much a food festival, more everything in a pub being crisp-themed for a full weekend, but it's actually good fun. So you'll be able to obviously taste crisps from lesser known brands.
Okay.
They also have quizzes and games, as in, do you remember that pack of crisps from the 90s or whatever? You get your own DIY crisp Sambo kit to make your own potato sandwich.
Yeah.
You can attempt the hot chip challenge. There's also a Crisp Fest tuck shop where you can try loads of different crisps, and you can watch a competition to find the best crisp Sambo of the year.
Is this certain pubs taking part in it in Dublin, Shane?
Or all different brands. No, it's all organised by the Eat Yard in the Bernard Shaw.
Ah, brilliant.
It's all different brands there. So they say whether you're firstly loyal to one crisp brand or have strong opinions on Ridges, you'll be in good company with all your other crisp enthusiasts.
Do you know what I do love to do in a pub, sitting having a drink? Tato classic cheese and onion crisps. Tear open the bag, pour in a little packet of peanuts.
Oh, very nice. And mix it together.
Mix it together. Love that as a little snack while I'm having a beer.
I thought you were going to say open the bag and be sociable and give it to other people.
It's in the middle of the table. So we all kind of dive in.
For you.
Pick away. Anyway, right. Off to something a bit fancier now.
Yeah, oysters. Now, there are loads of festivals around the country on, obviously, this bank holiday weekend. But one that maybe isn't getting a lot of coverage is the Oyster Festival. Are you a fan of oysters?
Love an oyster.
Do you? Now, I've never tried them. Everyone tells me they taste like snots.
Go away out of that.
Do they not taste like snots?
Make this weekend your weekend to have an oyster,
really?
For God's sake. Yeah. Yeah, nothing like it.
Then of course, they are an aphrodisiac as well, we should remember.
They are.
Anyway, in Kerry, they're like you because they love oysters. And the Kerry man tells us that this year's Ballylongford Oyster Festival runs along the bank holiday weekend alongside the crack. There's also a celebration including entertaining and wacky events. The opening night of the festival, by the way, is tonight in Ballylongford. And it kicks off with a kids' fancy dress parade, which sounds very cute.
Mm-hmm.
Later there'll be a kids disco, so a lot of kid activities tonight.
Family friendly, which is
friendly.
Nice to hear,
yeah,
actually.
And then we have the most celebrated event of the year.
Oh, see what you did there?
He's
been working on that all morning, haven't you?
It's the Oyster Swallowing Competition. So how this works is you have to Basically, it's how many oysters you can swallow in 30 seconds.
Now, you see, I think this goes against the delicacy of and the luxury of oysters.
Just hoofing them in.
Hoofing them in. It's wrong.
If they do taste like snots, that's disgusting then, because you have to have a million oysters in 30 seconds. But we've big money here, because if you win 100 euro. And also you win a trophy if you're the best oyster swallower in the land. And then on Sunday, there is a seafood banquet at the parish hall, which sounds lovely. And they also have a duck race, a welly race and a barman's race. So it sounds like great crack in Ballylongford. I've never been to Ballylongford as far as I know.
Me
neither. No.
No.
I looked it up on the map. It's right on the coast. It looks gorgeous. And it's described as a scenic, historic village in North Kerry. So if you're there for your holidays or you live in Kerry, pop along.
And is that this weekend, Shane?
That's on from tonight.
From tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. Family friendly, gorgeous. Kind of old school events, aren't they?
Yeah.
Races and all sorts of colourful fun.
Actually, the barman races or the bartender races or whatever they're called were big in the 90s. Hadn't heard of them in years. And now they're back. There was one in Dublin last weekend,
really?
I believe, as well. So
okay.
That's one of the things you can do.
Lovely. Old fashioned traditions coming back into vogue. Shane, good luck with the entertaining. Have a lovely weekend.
You. Cheers. You too. And the sun is out tonight. Not so much Sunday. So enjoy today and tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Have a lovely weekend.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.